All right, Houdat Nation, we are on the Ciroc Point after the following the Saints 27-19 loss in Tampa Bay. I don't know, Cajun Cannon. We've been saying it all season long. Another tough loss for this black and gold squad. Today, we've heard it from Deuce and everyone else, just basically another tale of two halves for this team that had a lead on Tampa Bay, just couldn't hold on in the end.
Yeah, it was the same song and dance. You know, when you look at it, you got to play four quarters. You cannot just play, and that being, Spencer Rattler, he's kind of like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He was, really the past two games, if you look against the Raiders and Tampa Bay, outstanding in the first half. Now, teams are going to make adjustments. I thought a couple of times, just a little inaccurate with his passing, that, you take for granted how accurate Drew Brees was. And, if a receiver is a lot open, you got to hit him in stride. You can't throw it behind him. You can't throw it too high. So I just thought a couple of passes just inaccurate. One pocket presence Yeah, he had a good pocket. Then he steps up into the sack with Vita Vey. Not saying he was rattled, but to me it was just a little too consistent what you need from him to end the game. It just seems like, it can go wrong, goes wrong at times. And you might have seasoned veterans and just get stupid penalties, like Foster Morrow. All of a sudden, he got a 7-yard gain, and he gets a penalty. What, he tossed the football at the Bucs bench and all that? It's just a lot of mistiming as far as penalties go. You have positive and negatives every game. We finally forced a turnover. We had gone the past six weeks without forcing a turnover. So that was good. It was monumental compared to last year on a negative side. We were plus 11 in turnover margin last year, where we were plus one for the game. We were minus two for the season. So that's one reason why, you only win, five games. I was still on the coach's show. I'm asking Coach Riz. I still want an explanation. That to me it was ridiculous, with the penalty. You can't pretend you're slashing a throat or shooting a gun or any kind of celebration. So my understanding, it's a post-penalty after the play. So they had first and goal from the 9. So then if they got unsportsmanlike conduct, so that should be a 15-yard penalty. Should have been first and goal. At the 24-yard line instead of first and 10. I don't know. It seems like New York was calling. Oh, you can't put Tampa Bay in a bind like that. We can't have that. I don't know. That looked a little shady there. But that'll be interesting. And then, there was one hit over the middle. Honey Badger really don't want to hit nobody today. I mean, they called a penalty on him. I think they end up maybe making contact with one another, the face mask or the helmet. And he had his shoulder in there, but he was almost like taking the blow. And they called that a penalty. I mean, how can that be roughing? So then, I don't know. Next year, you know what I want to see? We don't let the damn quarterback run whenever he wants to run. And just do whatever he wants to do. I mean, Baker Mayfield can scramble. But it's not Jayden Daniels. It's not Lamar Jackson. No. He's better than Matthew Stafford and or Jared Goff, whoever you are, or even Sam Darnold. But that's unacceptable. Baker Mayfield runs the ball for 9 times, 68 yards, 7.6 yard average. Had a long gain of 28. I mean, and then at times too much time to throw. He can make a sandwich back there. Too inconsistent with the pass rush and too inconsistent in containing the quarterback. Now, looking at, another undisciplined play. Come on, that's being selfish. Nathan Shepard at the end of the game. Okay, the play's over. Why are you going to go over the pile and pin the offensive lineman, push him over? They're going to call that every time. You cannot do that. I don't know. That's a selfish act on a veteran player like Nathan Shepard. I think Foster Morrow maybe got caught up when he threw the ball. But that was unacceptable. This is a couple of things that aren't acceptable. I don't know. The first game we play next year, Okay, can we hold an opponent under 5 yards rushing? I don't know who's going to be on the team or who's playing run defense. But right now, I tend to bet on that whoever we play in the first game, they're going to average over 5 yards a run. And that's what happened again. The Raiders were dead last rushing the football at 77 and a half yards. Well, they had like 88, I want to say, in the first half. Ended up with 150, somewhere around there. Well, looking at Tampa Bay, had 31 rushing attempts. They averaged 5.8 yards a carry. Like I said, we're giving up 5 yards on the season. You got to count the quarterback. Everything counts when you're trying to stop running the football. Now, when you try and control the ebb and flow of a game, you know, third down. You could say it doesn't matter what you're doing first and second down. You don't want to be behind the chains or you want to be in manageable third downs. Well, look at our offense. Our offense has been terrible this year. On third down, you need to be like mid-40s. And that's when you're efficient and you're getting it done. I'm not saying you even leading the league, but you got to be, I don't know, at least 44, 45%. We won third down offensively. We were 36% coming into the game. But today, we were 3 of 13, 23%. Guess what we were against the Raiders? 1 of 10. We were 1 of 10 against the Raiders. And at one time, we were 0 of 9. I want to say we were 0 of 9, and that the 1 of 10 was right in to convert on third down. So you're not going to win too many games like that. That's Coach Ridge. You mentioned that. And defensively, I mean, look, today we gave up. They were 10 of 16, 63%. Won this season. We gave it this is okay, kind of middle, with 39.5%. Now, when we've been at times, we've been like we're rolling on third down defense. That has to be low 30s. Something as simple as you think it's not a big difference. No, like 39.5% versus 32.5%, that's a big difference when all said and done. And I don't know just how teams move the football. You might say, well, it wasn't throughout the game, but it, like a tale of two halves, whatever. All the last two games, we gave up basically 900 yards of offense in two games. 890 to be exact. 890 yards to be exact. So I say that. I'm around that. I must say we gave up 900 yards the past two games. Now, and Tampa Bay was somewhat trying to give us the game. Now, you know, I always say nine penalties are 100 yards or more. We had 8 for 77, so we were on the cusp. But they had 12 penalties for 90 yards. So that's like giving up a touchdown. So really, it was almost like a pick'em type game when you look at that. Nothing like the point spread when you think about it, that we were a 14.5-point underdog. It's short. The first half looked like, does Tampa Bay know that if they win this game, they win the NFC South? I mean, there was they were giving nothing the home crowd to cheer for. That's why when you got them down, you got to kick them when they're down, and you have to keep them down. That was not the case, and that was frustrating because you know, when you got an opponent down, you got to keep that momentum. And I just think we've been too much on a roller coaster there. Like, for instance, Juwan Johnson. Juwan Johnson, to start the game, was he on fire or was he on fire? His first three catches, 19 yards, 15 yards, 26 yards, 60 yards receiving. The first half, he had 5 catches, 69 yards. Well, he ended up with 6 catches, 80 yards. I don't know. We didn't run no plays maybe to get him open, to give him more opportunities. All of a sudden, I don't think Tampa Bay was always double-teaming him. So that was puzzling there. But I think this is not a good formula. I don't care who you're playing, how you're trying to win. And the way we're structured, Spencer Rattler threw the ball 42 times, and we ran it 19. Now, maybe at the end you have to pass because maybe you got to play catch-up. But it seems like, well, Bobby, we didn't have Alvin Kamara. We don't have Taysom Hill. So maybe we don't need those rushing attempts. I still think that whether it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who just came on board, or Jamal Williams, Jordan Mims, whatever, you got to attempt to run the ball. We only average 3.5 yards a run. Like I said, they average 5.8. But a young quarterback, I don't think that's good. for Spencer Rattler having to throw 42. I'd rather him throw it 32 and we run 29. Just the ebb and flow. But I'm just questioning Coach Kubiak in that regard, because you look at the balance with Tampa Bay. They ran the ball 31 times, and Baker Mayfield threw it 32. Yeah, it definitely was kind of cheap at the end, trying to get Mike Evans, to tie with Jerry Rice to get 1,000 yards. And when you look at it, it was cheap. You know what it kind of remind me of? Well, twofold. Mike Evans, the Hoodie Nation, we don't think he's necessarily the most, now Tampa Bay might love him, or his teammates, not necessarily the most upstanding citizens. I remember when he was, that was kind of a punkish act, when he went and punched Marshawn Lattimore in the back of the head. When all of a sudden he didn't like what was going on in the field. I don't know, that's not, that's unsportsmanlike, I'd say the least. And it kind of reminded me how they got the record. You know what it reminded me of? Now, if I can recollect, and kind of when Michael Strahan got this, the last sack.
I was thinking the same thing there.
On Brett Favre, okay, we're just going to give it to him, so he's going to have a record. Or even Pokemon, how about we give him a touchdown when we're supposed to kneel down on the ball? You know, I look at that, to me, that's not gamesmanship. I don't know how you're supposed to fight. I think Deuce or Charlie, we're all talking about this. I don't know, at the end, we might give up another touchdown, but Mike Evans ain't going to catch that ball. We might, instead of bracket him and play him short and long, we're going to put four guys on him. And we might tackle him and get a penalty, but he ain't catching another ball.
Hold on, Bobby. We're going to pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon, pick up right there.
Yeah, and, he needed 85 yards, and I think he got nine receptions for 89 yards, so he's over 1,000. And I'm not hating on him. Listen, if I was a teammate of his, I'd be all, we got to get him another ball. Because you won this. That making that one catch at the end, that's actually $3 million.
Just enough time to do it.
It's like an extra $3 million bonus.
Yeah.
I told you that story before with me, right? That $250,000 bonus?
Mm-mm.
I told you, okay. This is 1987. And out of my contract, I had to start 12 games or more. We play in 16. I get a $250,000 signing bonus. So all of a sudden, we play in the Bengals. My knee's hurting, and it's all swollen and stuff. And we're already in the playoffs. That year, we went 12-3. Was a wild card. So we're getting ready to play Green Bay at home. And so Mr. Finks, the general manager, says, well, Bob, you need to sit down and get ready for the playoffs. You know, because your knee's all messed up and all that. I said, no, I'm all right. I'm going to start next week. My knee's all right. Well, to show you how I was going to make my knee all right, you know, you have the hard days of practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I got my knee drained Wednesday and shot up, and I got my knee drained on Thursday and shot up so I could practice. And I got it shot up for the game. Huh. And so I said, because you say, if you don't practice, you can't play. So I said, all I got to do is take the first snap. I said, I ain't giving up that damn $250,000. Now, I told Mr. Finks, I said, I'll save myself in the playoffs if you give me that bonus. Oh, we're not going to do that. I said, well, damn it, I'm playing. ain't no way I'm not playing. I even told Dave Wilson, you know, first round supplemental draft pick. You remember from Illinois. He's the only rookie to ever win a game for the Saints as a rookie. Spencer Rattler had a chance to win a game as a rookie. It didn't happen. Dave Wilson's the only one to do that against the Rams. Well, I told Dave Wilson, if they tell you you starting instead of me, I tell you right now, I'm going to give you $50,000. I'm starting that game. I might cause chaos. I'm running out there on the field, and I had the team have my back. I'm running down the field. I'm just running a toss sweep to Dalton Hilliard. Then you could come in. But ain't no way in hell I'm not taking that that snap. See, if I don't know, you can even look at him. I think I threw a couple of touchdown passes. Ended up playing the whole game. But it's like, it just shows you the business side of thing, and that's why the Buccaneer teammates.
But wanted now, to get that from Mike, right.
Now think about it. Now it's changed 1987 to 2025 now, a 2024 season. Now I'm talking about $250,000, but it's kind of relevant. Well, now it's up to like $3 million. You know, you do this one thing, and you got an incentive clause, a bonus to get that. So that's why when I look at, okay, now if you're an opponent or you're a teammate, yeah, Tampa Bay's all for it. But ebb and flow in the competition in the game, it's just cheap. It seemed cheap the way he got the record, because normally the game's over, you kneel down. And it seemed like, I don't know, the Saints went along with it. I don't know if they knew that Mike Evans could have the record then, but they should have went up and put four guys on him or something, or just let Baker throw to somebody else who's wide open, because you know they would have tried to force it to Mike Evans. I don't know. It looked like it was almost staged. The way that ended up happening. But I don't know. I went off on a tangent there. But look at Steve. I think you did a good job with Nephi Sewell and looking at what he was able to do. And that's what you want as a player. You know, he got the Ed Block Courage Award.
Right.
You know, coming back from adversity and injury. I think I told you that. You know, I won that award in 1996.
I did not know that one.
Because, yeah, the players vote on. You get to go to Baltimore. Ed Block was a famous, like, I want to say equipment. No, not equipment guy, trainer with the Baltimore Colts. So each player, each team nominates a player, and you get to go. It's a nice banquet in Baltimore. It's, like, awesome. So Nephi Sewell, the players vote on him because his comeback. So here he has eight total tackles. He gets a sack, a quarterback hurries. Two tackles for a loss to lead the team. DeMario Davis had nine total tackles. But overall, there's going to be a lot of different players on the team next year. It just is. And we're going to do shows coming up in the offseason. Okay, where do the Saints go from here? Again, we could break down even on this show, the point after. Okay, who's going to the Pro Bowl for us?
Nobody.
Now, there might be an alternate, whatever. But right now, and now, last time this happened, I think 2016, we all know how the magical draft of 2017 was. So maybe that might be a good omen.
I'll take it.
Considering.
Right.
Now, I still don't know how J.T. Gray is not only a Pro Bowl special teams player, he's all pro. He was leading the NFL in tackles on special teams. There is a. Not a game. Let me check and see. JT is not a game that he does not come up with a special team tackle. Did he play? He didn't get a tackle today. Because I'm telling you, he's always on this list. He's always getting an unassisted tackle or assisted tackle on special teams. But it just goes to show you, young players, I'm not talking about good or very good. Charlie, who are we taking? Are we drafting ninth right now? Or eight, are we ninth or tenth? We don't know.
Yeah, right now we are nine.
Okay, we are nine. Whoever we pick at number nine, the Houdat Nation does not want to hear, we're going to develop this guy.
Please.
You
got to
be patient, 2 or 3 years. We don't want to hear none of this Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner stuff. Oh, look at the upside. We want somebody who's going to come in here and be able to play from the get-go. Ain't no development. From the get-go. And that's why we were talking about, okay, is it there in interior lineman? Mike, we talked about this in the pregame from University of Michigan, but he might be gone before the Saints. Michigan Wolverines have a couple of players. So how do you wheel and deal? All I know is we cannot be giving up 5 yards a run week in and week out.
To everybody.
Or you might not even, it might be the same song and dance. You might not even be 500 when all said and done. But a very disappointing into the season, winning only 5 games. And, you know, I could say this, and this is because your teammates having your back. Did we win a game without Derek Carr? And how many games did we win? 5. Okay? So the point I'm making, I think Derek Carr can make the difference.
Clearly,
now,
he's a difference
maker,
this, right.
Of like 3 to 4 more wins. But where does that get you? 8-9, 9-8. I don't know. You're hovering around 500. That's not for sure you're in the postseason. Well, I can tell you this right now. The year I held out, when they had Steve Walsh and John Forcade, and the Dome Patrol had my back, we were 8-8 team. And he said, Bobby, you made all the difference in the world. If you play, we're 11-5 or 12-4. 3 or 4 game difference. And you know what? Ironically, if 4K to Walsh would have worked out, I never would have came back to the Saints. Fink's winning. He'd have let them beat a quarterback. But Coach Mara, he had my back behind the scenes, said, I'm not signing an extension unless you bring Hebert back. Brought me back in 1991. We won the NFC West. We finished 11-5. So I'm just telling you history, what happens when the quarterback can make that kind of difference. I'm not saying Derek Carr is bringing us to a championship. I'm not saying Bobby Hebert would have brought you to a championship. But all I know is you talk about wins and losses.
You're going to be a competitive team at least.
Yes, and what happens? Well, without Derek Carr, no. We're not hovering right now around 500. And so what's the rumor? We're going to go get the Giants quarterback Jones, who's now with the Vikings? Daniel Jones? Okay, the Who Dat Nation, Daniel Jones, then they're going to say.
They
don't want to hear that. They're going to say, what, we're going to do Daniel Jones? We might as well stick with Derek Carr.
They'll take Rattler over Daniel Jones, I think.
And maybe Mickey Loomis remembers Daniel Jones had an outstanding game against the Saints in the Dome.
Well, we don't have Saquon.
Yeah, I remember that game. I still don't know how we lost that game. That game, we were winning by 11 points with 8 minutes left. We end up losing. Now, the one thing Daniel Jones would definitely have over Derek Carr, he can run. He's like a poor man Josh Allen running the ball. And kind of like Justin Herbert, but he ain't no Jane Daniels or Lamar. You know, like it's different kind of mobilities.
Right.
I'd say Daniel Jones can run better than Baker Mayfield. Look how Baker Mayfield ran all over us today. And I don't know. You go on and on. All I know is 5 wins, ain't getting it done. And it looks like it maybe was going to happen. Oh boy, the Saints, boy, you beat Tampa Bay. And then, I don't know, Carolina and Atlanta went into overtime. Who ended up winning that?
Carolina ends up coming out on top.
That would have been a great finish for a disappointing season. Saints beat the Bucs. They're back into the playoffs, and Atlanta loses to Carolina.
He ends up being 44-38 Carolina.
Man, the pros, you never know. A lot. I think the team next year, there'll be a lot of different faces. And people can comment, do you trust Mickey Loomis to pick the next head coach? Because I think he's the one in charge and have that authority. That Ms. Gail Benson and Dennis Lauscher, they're trusting Mickey to pick the next coach who's going to be for the Saints.